app, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The nation's top law enforcement officer pushing back against congressional Republicans.
Attorney General Merrick Garland is set to forcefully reject what he calls extremely dangerous narratives before the House Judiciary Committee. This comes as House Republicans threaten to hold Garland in contempt for refusing to turn over audio tapes of President Biden during the investigation of the president's handling of classified documents. According to prepared remarks, Garland will dispute claims that the DOJ is showing any bias in favor of Biden and denied the department had any involvement in the Manhattan DA's investigation into former President Trump. Garland will say these false narratives are, quote, an attack on the judicial process itself. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
Sources tell ABC News President Biden will sign an executive order limiting the number of asylum seekers at the southern border. Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey and on trial for corruption, announced he will run for re-election as an independent. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
7 News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Opinions among Wisconsin leaders about Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions are split along party lines. Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore tells WISN-TV's Upfront the jury got it right.
You and I talked before the verdict was rendered, and I told you then that I was going to trust the justice system, trust the jury system. It's the only thing I know as an American.
Republican Brian Stiles says he's disappointed, but he thinks the convictions will be overturned on appeal. Meanwhile, Trump's son, Donald Jr., will campaign for Republican U.S. House candidate Tony Weed in the Green Bay area Tuesday night. That's according to a release from Weed's campaign. The former president is endorsing Weed in a three-way Republican primary against Roger Roth and Andre Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers workouts continue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding OTA voluntary practices today. Attendance has been nearly 95%, including veteran running back Josh Jacobs. Signed in free agency from the Raiders, Jacobs told me he started watching tape on quarterback Jordan Love after the Raiders played the Packers last season.
Man, I mean, the dude, man, I mean, for him to be as young as he is and to be playing at the type of level he is right now and only getting better, I think he's going to legit be the next superstar quarterback in this league. Obviously, I come in to see him every day, put in the work, and, you know, all the little things behind the scenes. And I think that he has all the attributes to be able to do that, to keep being confident in himself and keep being confident in his players. He'll get everything he wants.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Phillies at it again tonight at Citizens Bank Park. The Crew losing last night to Philadelphia 3-1. Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo commits to playing for the Greek men's team in qualifying rounds for the Olympics. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbush.
Hey, everybody, be with us next time. Big show. Our friend Trigvi Olson brings Reed Galen along with him for the Lincoln Project and a surprise guest from MSNBC's Morning Joe. Be here.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. And there could be some locally heavy rain with these storms. Half inch to an inch or more of rain possible. That could lead to some localized flooding. So be aware of that here later today. 82 our high tonight, 54 tomorrow. Isolated storm, 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and guy went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and one of the 3rd District candidates for Congress, State Assembly Rep. Katrina Shanklin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Well, we've got more severe weather coming our way on a Tuesday. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. I only wish our weather was as fabulous as I am on a Tuesday. It is going to provide us with some interesting developments through the morning hours. Severe weather is possible out there this morning. Everything from high winds, hail, maybe a thunderstorm. Maybe we'll have to watch out for possible tornado pop-ups that could occur. So you're going to want to stay close to the radio and the forecast for today, no matter where you are. La Crosse, you're looking to top out today around 82 degrees. But again, scattered thunderstorms developing not only this morning, but into the afternoon. It's an alert day around South Central Wisconsin as well. Strong storms are possible. Today's daytime highs are expected to be, again, upper 70s, low 80s. And along the lakeshore, you're looking at the same thing. Scattered thunderstorms, daytime highs right around 80 degrees. We'll take a closer look at all the weather details coming up as we roll our way through a Tuesday. We're also going to be checking up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. As you can imagine, this week's latest planting progress report, not exactly what a lot of states had hoped for. John will give us his perspective on that. And the 2024 Wisconsin Science Festival comes up in October. And guess what the theme is this year? Agriculture. It's kind of a nice pair if you think about it. Science and agriculture. Stephanie Hoff has got an interesting conversation on that one on the way.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together conference is November 5th through the 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit dairygirlnetwork.com. The early registration deadline is June 19th.
When you think about NASA, the first images that probably come to your mind are astronauts floating in space, rockets launching into the sky, or maybe even distant planets that are waiting to be explored. However, NASA's contributions extend far beyond those realms of space. In fact, they play a crucial role in supporting our farmers here on Earth every day. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And through advanced satellite technology and data analysis, NASA provides essential information that helps our farmers monitor crop health, predict weather patterns, and so much more. Brad Dorn, NASA Agriculture Lead, says that this support ensures that sustainable agriculture practices are possible and enhances food security worldwide.
NASA's been collecting observations from of the Earth for, 50 years. And so many of those observations are directly relevant and applicable to agriculture industry, starting with our weather satellites in the early days to our Earth observing satellites like Landsat. And so that really started and really was amplified by the agriculture industry and the need for global food supply information. And so today, these observations, many of them designed, from sensors designed and wanted by agronomists, are directly relevant to how producers need the information, what information they need. You know, one of the things about satellites is they're always on. Our satellites, NASA satellites, are always on. So it gives you that time step, season to season, within season, year to year, decade to get decade. And so you can monitor those changes. So these questions that come up like, hey, you know, I've been doing conservation ag for 20 years. Why aren't I not getting credit for all that? Well, NASA satellites have been up there that long. We could actually assess, you know, those changes over the years if people want. So that's a key value of the satellite data that we have.
And you mentioned with that, there's a lot of things that the agronomists want to know, the farmers want to know, soil moisture levels, crop health indicators, things like that you guys are also watching, correct?
Yeah. Water's a key one, and a key one we can monitor. We've been monitoring the water cycle for decades, and so understanding and having observations on each part of the water cycle helps us constrain those models so that we understand what exactly is going on in the changes that we're seeing. Is that a real change? Is that an anomaly? Is that caused by something? And the only way we're going to get better predictions of water availability too is by having these observations so we can predict into the future. Sustainable ag must include economic sustainability. And so are we producing, you know, the yields that we want, maybe with less input? And that's what the satellites are really valuable for doing.
And in agriculture, those reports that come out, we're constantly checking. And one of those that kind of sticks out to me is the World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate reports. Those are crucial for our ag markets. How are you guys contributing to the accuracy and timeliness of these?
Well, that's probably one of the first agriculture applications that NASA had. And NASA's supporting the WASD for about as long as the WASD's been produced, since the early 70s, in the Great Grain Robbery. And so we provide satellite data to the USDA Foreign Ag Service, and we provide that data into the lockup process so they get an observation of what's going on that's separate from maybe what they're getting from an export report or an in-country news service. One of the former WASD leads commented to me when I was there, it's like, it's the only direct observation that USDA has on the food supply is from satellite data. Everything else comes from secondary reports, somebody's business, how much they're exporting. So it's a key mission of ours and continues to be to this day.
Are there specific NASA technologies or even data sets that are used to kind of inform these projections? I know you mentioned there's satellite imagery, climate models, things like that. Kind of take me through what that looks like.
You know, one of the more recent ones has been on soil moisture, because if you want to do a good prediction of yield at the end of the season, tell me what the soil moisture was like at when the crop was planted. And so getting better soil moisture information has been one of the key inputs we've been providing to USDA and the Foreign Ag Service from our satellites. And these sensors come from sensors with these, you know, big arrays that, you know, we've been using for weather forecasting a lot, or for motion technology, but now we're using them more and more for soil moisture. But now we're also going to include radar systems. We're going to launch a satellite this year, and we're going to have surface soil moisture observations every couple football fields. And so that type of information all goes into whether it's crop models or early season assessments of what potential yield may be. So those are key technologies, the radar technologies and soil moisture, and some of these newer observations that you're going to start to see too are called hyperspectral and superspectral. Kind of cool names, right? All that means is a lot more data. Yeah, when we talk about some of our satellites have 8 or 9 bands of information, we're going to have maybe well over 100 bands or tens of bands of information. So these, the agronomists and the scientists can slice these up and help us assess plant health, pest disease control, different types of crop types. Can we distinguish cover crops from other crops? That type of thing is going to be real vital.
Are there any innovative methods, anything like that, that you guys are developing to kind of improve drought forecasting, early warning signs, or anything else that we didn't kind of cover in that frame?
The most recent thing we've been doing with the U.S. Drought Monitor has been on groundwater. And so we've been providing their data from one of our missions called GRACE. GRACE measures changes in gravity. So stay with me here because it is weird. Changes in gravity, and what we found is that actually we can assess changes in water, underground water movement. Now, why is that important? We have so little information on groundwater changes. That's enough for our scientists to model groundwater to a point where we can get accurate assessments of groundwater change, root zone soil moisture change, and surface soil moisture change. So if you go to the drought monitor, you now see those indicators that go right along with the drought monitor. So you may think, oh, I'm in drought such and such. You can go see, well, is that groundwater? Is that surface water? You know, what's going on in my territory? So those are some neat technologies, and those are only going to improve into the future.
In what ways do you guys really engage within the agriculture industry to understand what we need then and develop then your tailored solutions to help benefit?
Well, great question, because I've said this to others, is NASA's built like a space agency and a research agency. And so we have to get creative, and NASA is the epitome of being creative. So we're trying to develop programs where we're actually out with the farmers, with the producers. We have a relatively new program called NASA Acres that actually its chief scientist is in a land-grant university at the University of Illinois. We have researchers at Arizona State University. So those land-grant universities are ways we feel that we really can get this information out to producers. But it's also working with industry. We're trying to understand and coordinate with, you know, whether it's the implements or commodity groups and co-ops. How do they want to get this information?
Once again, that's NASA Agriculture Lead Brad Dorn along with us. As you can tell, their work is as vital here at home on Earth as it is in the cosmos. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Kansas Supreme Court issued a contentious, narrow decision Friday, determining that Kansas citizens do not have a natural right to vote. Instead, the majority ruled that citizens have a political right, subject to qualification by its legislature. The legislature passed a spate of anti-voter bills in 2021, restricting voting by mail, who could assist voters in returning ballots, and how many ballots could be returned by get-out-the-vote groups. It also implemented notoriously inaccurate signature matching for mail-in ballots, but no provisions for voters to cure a mismatch. The rules could potentially disenfranchise thousands. Pro-democracy groups sued, arguing the rules infringed on the constitutional right of Kansans to vote. The court's majority ruled 4-3 that Kansas citizens do not have a natural right, only a political right under the Article 5 suffrage provisions of the state constitution. As such, the legislature can require, quote, proper proofs contemplated by Article 5, Section 4 may include any reasonable provision for ascertaining who is entitled to vote, that is, who is a qualified elector under Article 5. The signature matching and ballot delivery restrictions will stand subject to a lower court review. Justice Eric Rosen wrote in his dissent, I cannot and will not condone this betrayal of our constitutional duty to safeguard the foundational rights of Kansans. Find links to the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at steak.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We got a friend joining us. He is Joe Zepecki, Democratic strategist, friend of ours. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Directly with me on any subject, quite honestly, that number 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. You can use those numbers if you also want to pose a question for John Heinberg, market advisor. He'll be joining us in the second half hour. Thank you to all our rainfall reporters that have already been busy this morning. We'll get to your numbers in just a moment. Next week, the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention rolls into the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Our summer intern is very connected with the Wisconsin FFA Association. Her name, Aubrey Schlimgen, and she got a chance to visit with some of the state officers getting ready for next week's big event.
Julia Lenz comes from the Markazan FFA chapter and is this year's Wisconsin FFA State Vice President. She grew up in agriculture showing livestock, which allowed her to find FFA and fall in love with the leadership aspect. She actually wanted to become an officer because of her experience in FFA during the pandemic.
It's been quite amazing. So COVID hit my freshman year of high school. That's when the world shut down. So essentially my first full 2 years of high school life was not as we know it today. And therefore I missed out on many FFA opportunities. So being in this position where I'm able to impact others because they're able to take advantage of all of these different opportunities at the state level has been quite eye-opening, because maybe those were opportunities I wasn't given throughout my time as a high school member. So being able to give back and provide for each of these members what I didn't have is so rewarding.
Yes, I mean, we all experienced such unique and different times during COVID, but now that you've kind of stepped into this role this year, your year is almost done. We mentioned Julia Lenz from the Markazan FFA chapter here with us again in studio. Your year is ending out now. How has your year been? Take us through your year. What was the ups, maybe some of the downs? What did you experience in this role?
This year has been incredibly impactful. Honestly, anytime I get asked this question, I would say it exceeded any potential expectations I had coming into it. I don't think you really truly know what you're getting yourself into until you're in that role of a state officer. And you go through the summer learning what the role is going to be like, what you can expect during the year. But you don't actually know until you're out at a conference or you're at a chapter visit, meeting advisors and members and learning from them and being able to have all of these super amazing conversations that you never expected. And honestly, I don't know if we've hit a low this year. We have had an outstanding year with record numbers, record participation and everything. And it's been really cool to work alongside my 10 teammates to guide this whole entire association on this journey of a lifetime.
Speaking of record-breaking numbers, it sure sounds that there's going to be a lot of record-breaking numbers at the 95th State FFA Wisconsin Convention. Along with that, could you touch on some record-breaking numbers as well with that?
So that is all tentative to come. We'll have to remain on the edge of our seats for the sessions at state convention, but I can confirm that this year our blue legacy jacket is going up from awarding just 10 jackets to now 26. So that 26 deserving FFA members will be receiving their very own blue corduroy jacket to send them on the adventure of a lifetime, where they're going to create countless relationships and make countless memories.
That is Julia Lenz, our state FFA vice president from the Markazan chapter, along with our summer intern, Aubrey Schlimgen, who was a past state FFA officer herself, a national officer candidate, and now a part of the Midwest Farm Report team. Thank you, Aubrey. Glad we could introduce you to the audience. Well, I want to introduce you to the weather forecast for today, and a big thank you to all you rainfall reporters that have chimed in. Stan from up by Green Bay said they picked up about a half an inch of rain overnight. As far as the rest of you, Greg by Theresa, 1.67 inches. Alto about a half an inch. Dan from Fox Lake, 2.6 in the past 24 hours. Over 9/10 of an inch rain north of Burnett. 1.75 inches, Greg in West Bend. Dave in Burlington, about a half an inch. Dennis in Brownsville, 8/10 of an inch rain, and they just barely got their forage pile covered in the rain. Linda from Reeseville, 2 inches. And Paul by Banner, 1.2 inches. And Frank by Elroy, 6/10 of an inch of rain. I think it is going to suffice to say that we've got another chance of rain in the forecast for today. Showers and thunderstorm probably developing later this afternoon for all of us. Daytime highs today are going to be a sticky upper 70s, low 80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms again redeveloping overnight. Could see between a tenth and another quarter inch of rain. So again, keep those rainfall reports coming. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The nation's top law enforcement officer pushing back against congressional Republicans.
Attorney General Merrick Garland is set to forcefully reject what he calls extremely dangerous narratives before the House Judiciary Committee. This comes as House Republicans threaten to hold Garland in contempt for refusing to turn over audio tapes of President Biden during the investigation of the president's handling of classified documents. According to prepared remarks, Garland will dispute claims that the DOJ is showing any bias in favor of Biden and denied the department had any involvement in the Manhattan DA's investigation into former President Trump. Garland will say these false narratives are, quote, an attack on the judicial process itself. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
Sources tell ABC News President Biden will sign an executive order limiting the number of asylum seekers at the southern border. Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey and on trial for corruption, announced he will run for re-election as an independent. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Opinions among Wisconsin leaders about Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions are split along party lines. Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore tells WISN-TV's Upfront the jury got it right.
You and I talked before the verdict was rendered, and I told you then that I was going to trust the justice system, trust the jury system. It's the only thing I know as an American.
Republican Brian Stiles says he's disappointed, but he thinks the convictions will be overturned on appeal. Meanwhile, Trump's son, Donald Jr., will campaign for Republican U.S. House candidate Tony Weed in the Green Bay area Tuesday night. That's according to a release from Weed's campaign. The former president is endorsing Weed in a three-way Republican primary against Roger Roth and Andre Jacques. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers workouts continue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding OTA voluntary practices today. Attendance has been nearly 95%, including veteran running back Josh Jacobs. Signed in free agency from the Raiders, Jacobs told me he started watching tape on quarterback Jordan Love after the Raiders played the Packers last season.
Man, I mean, the dude, man, I mean, for him to be as young as he is and to be playing at the type of level he is right now and only getting better, I think he's going to legit be the next superstar quarterback in this league. Obviously, I come in to see him every day, put in the work, and, you know, all the little things behind the scenes. And I think that he has all the attributes to be able to do that, to keep being confident in himself and keep being confident in his players. He'll get everything he wants.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Phillies at it again tonight at Citizens Bank Park. The Crew losing last night to Philadelphia 3-1. Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo commits to playing for the Greek men's team in qualifying rounds for the Olympics. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, you'll have another chance to enter our Text to Win giveaway, and we'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. And there could be some locally heavy rain with these storms. Half inch to an inch or more of rain possible. That could lead to some localized flooding. So be aware of that here later today. 82 our high tonight, 54 tomorrow. Isolated storm 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 66.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com, and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm very grateful to all you early morning rainfall reporters. Let's keep that conversation going, all right? No matter how sophisticated your measuring may be, I'm interested to know what's happening in your backyard. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. We'll recap more of those rainfall reports before we chat with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor at Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He's our guest this morning. You can also stand by. We are focused in on the Wisconsin Science Festival. It's an annual event covering the state of Wisconsin, and it's coming up again in October. This year, they're focused in on agriculture. We're going to learn more about that with Stephanie Hoff in just a moment. So today, it is going to stay cloudy basically all day long. It's going to be sticky. 82 are expected high today with a little bit of a breeze. Tonight is when it's going to get interesting again as far as weather is concerned. Showers and thunderstorms could happen overnight. About an 80% chance of rain occurring overnight. So again, depending on where you are, could see showers starting late this afternoon, maybe around drive time. But then again, they could pop up basically all night long into Wednesday. Today is the fourth day of June. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1953, the Wade House was dedicated, part of the Wisconsin Historical Society. That location, of course, just off Highway 23 in Greenbush. In fact, they've got some fun events coming up right up our alley. Blacksmithing workshop at the Wade House on June 22nd. They started that effort back on this day in 1953 with a special appearance by Carl Sandburg and Jenny Terrell. That happened on this day back in 1953. It is considered the second historic site that Wisconsin made a part of its historical society. Let's see. Bruce Springsteen released Born in the USA on this day back in 1984. On this day in 1917, the very first Pulitzer Prize was awarded. Let's see. Happy birthdays going out today to actress Angelina Jolie, 49 years young. And actor-comedian Russell Brand, he too is 49 years young. And now you know. You should know that agriculture is a science. That's part of the reason why it takes a little longer to explain to consumers these days why farmers do what they do. It is a science. And now the Wisconsin Science Festival is recognizing that through their partnership this October, focusing in on agriculture. Stephanie Hoff explains.
Samantha Mulrooney joins us. She's the Wisconsin Science Festival director. Samantha, this is the first time in 14 years of the festival that agriculture has been the overarching theme. How did you decide to zero in on this industry?
I mean, it is such an impactful part of our state's economy and our state's story. So it seemed like a natural fit for this year. And agriculture has been involved in a lot of our Science Festival events over the years, but this is the first time we're featuring really as a way to honor all of the great things that are happening in our state and all of the growers and all of the the technology that is involved in that. A lot of times people don't really understand how the food gets to the grocery store, right? And being able to take a little bit of effort during the festival this year to highlight that and promote that is what we're trying to do.
And again, it's really a statewide effort because you guys are now in more than 50 counties, but it didn't start that way, right? Tell us a little history on the Wisconsin Science Festival and how much it's grown over the years.
Yeah, for sure. So our science festival started back in 2011, primarily in Madison and Dane County areas. And right around the third or fourth year of the festival, it really started to blossom into what it is now. So we had events at about 150 different venues throughout the state last year and about 500 different event occurrences. And that is children's museums, nature centers, school districts, libraries are a big part of our festival, all hosting events during the week of our festival. And that number has just continued to grow as the festival kind of expands its footprint. And the feature every year is a large part of that. So we help bring in more partners and stakeholders throughout the state to get involved in our festival based on the feature. And agriculture is no different.
And it literally draws thousands of people across the state. Give me a sense of the reach of this event.
Sure, yeah. So in Madison, our Science Festival team helps coordinate a few key events, hands-on expo-style events, Science on the Square, which is the big one downtown Madison. We had over 12,000 people come to that event last year on a rainy October evening. But throughout the state, because of all of our statewide event hosts, we've reached over 40,000 people during the week of our festival. And again, those are very different types of events that are happening all throughout the state. It's pub talks at breweries, it's stargazing parties, it's, birding opportunities at nature centers. So something for everybody during the week of our festival.
Everybody, because if you were listening, you heard beer, you heard downtown Madison in the evening hour. So this isn't just an event geared towards children. This is for everyone.
Correct. Yeah, that is, science is for everyone. You're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach, right? So I think this is just a way to embrace that and to get everybody in Wisconsin excited about STEAM. So everything, science, technology, art, you name it, during the festival.
And now agriculture.
And now agriculture for sure. Yeah, that's a big part of it. I think you summarized it perfectly. That's involved in all of what we do.
Sam, I also wanted to ask you what you foresee some of these agricultural events to look like. Maybe personally, you're looking to learn something about agriculture during Wisconsin Science Festival in October, or, what you hope others will learn.
Yeah, I think there is really so much to learn. And that's part of why we chose the agriculture feature is it is so broad and there are so many different angles and ways to think about agriculture in our state. So I think I'm personally fascinated to learn as much as I can about the process of the technology and the newer, more modern approach to agriculture and the different stories and the different perspectives that are involved in agriculture in our state.
And if this is speaking to you, if you are thinking, hey, I have a story to tell about science on my farm or within my organization, there's a place to go to get involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our website is a great resource. Our contact information is on there. So we are always looking for more statewide event hosts to participate and to welcome the community or school groups into their world of either agriculture or just science and technology in general. So it doesn't necessarily have to involve agriculture, although it is pretty pervasive. So we know there's a good chance that it might. But yeah, our website is a good place to help either learn more about the festival or connect to us to share event and program details.
Samantha Mulrooney along with us, director of the Wisconsin Science Festival. This is a statewide celebration of the sciences, and this year the showcase is on Wisconsin agriculture. The festival is October 14th through the 20th. If you'd like to showcase the science that you do on your farm or agribusiness, reach out to Samantha Mulrooney through wiscifest.org. Again, preferably before August 1st. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer,
help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
John Heinberg, Market Advisor out of West Bend, joining us here in just a little bit. We'll focus in on the latest planting progress report. In Wisconsin, 84% of our corn was planted as of Sunday, 82% of our soybeans in the ground. Growers believe they've got a good to excellent crop on about 70% of their acres. The potato planting is just about done, and alfalfa harvest is continuing to struggle along. 35% of our first cut hay handled as of Sunday. The condition on that hay, 82% good to excellent. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are still struggling just a little bit. Dow Jones Industrial Average, at least right now, down more than 160 points. December corn's down a penny at 461. November soybeans are up a penny at 1164. The July wheat, that's up nearly to 674 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 2 cents to 196. 40-pound block cheese was up 8 at 189. Double A butter, 3 cents stronger. That's back to 312 a pound in Chicago. The June, make that the July, class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 11 cents right now, 20.75 a hundredweight. The August milk contracts are up 18, currently trading at 20.90 a hundredweight. Like I said, coming up next, going to catch up with John Heinberg, market advisor out of Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Find out what he sees driving these markets, not just commodities. What about that Dow Jones Industrial Average continuing to bleed? All that on the way for a Tuesday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Day two of Biden's top 100. We'll be talking about how Joe Biden has stood shoulder to shoulder with organized labor more than any other president in modern American history.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Northwest, about a mile from Cambria. That's since yesterday afternoon, so you can see there has been an awful lot of ebb and flow in this weather. Keep them coming, 877-301-3276. I'm going to press pause on that and focus on the weather and what traders are talking about relative to it. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. We got the crop progress report yesterday, John, and the first crop condition update. What did you see?
Yeah, well, first off, planted pace on corn, 91% complete nationally. Basically, it's a little bit above average. 89% is typically the average here. You know, I stated last week I was a little concerned the market would be moving past the planting concerns, obviously, with the pace where it is. You know, last week was a very difficult week in the markets, and yesterday started out to be another difficult day, you know, for this week. So then we get into that first crop rating, 75% good to excellent on the corn. They didn't do bean ratings yet, just too early there. We were 64% good to excellent last year. That's actually the sixth best rating to start this crop in 20 years. So now in the big picture, again, it's early. We got a lot of things happen. Everybody always jumps about 2012 was one of the best crops we ever had at this time frame, and things can change quickly with the weather. So it's a long growing season, but the markets are reflecting the fact that right now there just doesn't seem to be a major concern regarding this crop, even though there are areas, and I talked to some people here in Wisconsin yesterday, getting this thing planted is going to be very, very difficult, especially with this last rainfall. Those are things, unfortunately, will shake out in the wash in the long run. And when we get to September, get the final acres and prevent plan and things of that nature. But before we truly get those answers, this crop year will go through a market cycle through the summer months, unfortunately.
Well, and part of the reason why you say unfortunately is whatever we're growing now, we've got to be able to market later, no matter how big or how small. And right now, that seems to be an Achilles heel, isn't it?
Very much so, and obviously that's the biggest thing weighing on the soybean market right now, but is the pure fact that we just cannot move that product against some of the global competition. You know, right now the new books, sales on the books for the new crop year are the worst in 23 years. China has yet to step into the soybean market and the corn market for any new crop corn or soybeans in terms of published sales. They may be on the unknown side of things in terms of some of those sales, but nothing's truly marked to China at this time frame. That has the market very concerned. And to me, if we don't see some demand moves, kind of what the USDA did with those May numbers for the new crop side of the balance sheet, we could look at a bean carry that's pushing 500 million bushels, and that's still not going to be, you know, 1160 beans like we're seeing this morning. That's probably another good dollar lower, if not more, if we can't see that demand kick in. On the corn front, we had big news item last week that I think really weighed on corn was the fact that Argentina finally got cleared for the first time to start shipping corn to China. China's already got boats lined up for the July window. You know, they had to get through some of the quality standards, and that got approved. And now we see another competition coming in right at the peak of or start of their harvest here is that Argentina corn crop, which is going to be about, you know, 47, 48 million metric tons of corn going into the global market scale, again, putting pressure on the U.S. prices to compete.
Well, and the prices are one thing, John. What about the overall volumes? You know, is China producing its own corn? Is China producing its own beans? Are they showing up on sales elsewhere? I'm just kind of wondering if we're tracing that story.
There's a couple things that are kind of brewing there. I mean, they are still very aggressive buyers on the global marketplace. Again, right now it's coming out of South America, obviously, with the beans from Brazil and now shifting to the corn from China. And now the second crop corn may be coming in here from Brazil, too, in the next few weeks. You know, it's just a tough spot. Now, United States and corn market or corn sales actually have been doing pretty well. We had a sale to Spain yesterday. You know, when sometimes one buyer digs into another area so heavily, the other people have to get their corn from somewhere else. And we just see a reshuffling of the deck chairs a little bit. And these couple orders from Spain have kind of reflected that. At least now through probably the 1st of July, the United States is going to be very competitive in the corn side of the game. And we'll still continue to see some sales ramp up. It's more of a concern, you know, where are we going to be when that new crop gets harvested in the fall? And we need to start getting some sales on the books as corn sales are extremely laggard compared to previous years, too, for those new crop bushels.
John Heinberg's along with us on a Tuesday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report Network. His contact information, totalfarmmarketing.com, their website. The number to call if you want to chat with John about what's going on, 800-334-9779. Not a lot of time left, John, but I did also want to talk about what's been happening with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Again, this morning, the last time I looked, down now more than 160 additional points. That's another market, regardless of if you're in agriculture or just watching your 401k. You got to be getting a little anxious.
Yeah, that market was overbought. It was due for a correction. It kind of ran up on the possible hope that the Fed would be cutting rates, and inflation concerns are still weighing on the market. Continued chatter that we're going to keep rates higher for longer, and we're starting to see this market kind of fall apart, as we definitely saw the sell in May come into play last week.
Do we have any idea what the bottom's going to look like on the Dow?
We're at a very key spot, and if that breaks here, we'll definitely go back and retest that April low, which isn't too far away, and then we're looking at maybe a move back even down into the 38,000 plus or less window. I think it's all going to be about momentum and any news that can come into the marketplace.
Do we think that the presidential election is going to start being felt?
I do think so immensely. I do think that some of the uncertainty that's in that market when we poked up that 40,000 level, so that'll be something to watch as we get closer to November.
Wonderful. Thanks, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Again, his information for contact, totalfarmmarketing.com. Call him, 800-334-9779, or email johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. Always there. Ready to help you. Catch up with you again tomorrow morning. Don't forget, rainfall reporters, you go ahead and let me know what's going on.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and so is the Maggie Dawn Show as she kicks off a special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Certainly, having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 starts this week, a special segment on the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 to 4, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Agriculture needs to claim its share of the sustainability pie, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
There are about as many different visions of agricultural sustainability as there are countries in the world, which, you can imagine, makes it rather difficult for any sort of standardized incentive program. One aspect of that, according to a Minnesota-based sustainability consultant, is that many ag sustainability incentives now have competition. Devry Buffner-Vorwerk.
The challenge is that capital is not flowing for the climate side of things to our industry. It's flowing to other places and spaces. And so my soapbox is we cannot leave this issue of a sustainable food system only to the food industry.
Vorwerk says accountability is going to come into play.
Accurate measurement is going to equal robust markets. And at the end of the day, that means the farmers, they're going to be able to capture the benefits of the investments that they're making in their operations.
Vorwerk points out that the system has a way to go before it's even close to universal.
We come together, we've got trade, we've got the climate agenda, et cetera. And instead of us looking at it like, let's weld it together, the COP28, the biodiversity, and what's going on in Australia and Canada and Europe, what I encourage us to do is think about melding it together in a way that works for industry and society as a whole.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, entrepreneur Eric Brundrich joins us. His brand, Life Love Incorporated, just had a ribbon cutting at his bricks and mortar location.
Then Douglas Darby from Turning the Page will share his story of addiction and recovery. Don't miss it.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you know, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden gearing up to issue an executive order that would seal the southern border to any more migrants once the daily number reaches 2,500 between U.S. ports of entry.